Matthew 20 and 10. But when the first came, they supposed that you said they should have received more. And they just received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. I mean, what kind of deal is this? They work 1 hour and they get the same thing as us, and we worked 11 and bore the burden in the heat of the day, and we got the same. But he answered one of them and said, friend, do I do thee wrong? Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? He said, take what's yours and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So he concludes it with this statement then. He said, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called. See, many, many be called, but few are chosen. Now, as you know, when you link that one thought together, he's actually telling you the process that causes you to be chosen. He said, the first will be last, the last will be first. The man that makes himself first, he comes in last in the kingdom. The man that makes himself the slave and the servant, he comes in first in God's kingdom. Many be called, few are chosen. So when I would think about the reward of this, the hours this man worked and what they got paid, and the rich young ruler, when he came and he says, what thing do I lack? And he says, if you want to be perfect, trade the wealth of this life. Trade your treasure. Trade all your money. Sell all of it. Give it all away. All this life. And he says, give it to the poor. And you'll have treasures in heaven. So Peter couldn't hold back. He said, we've done that. In fact, not what until you died, Jesus was crucified, that I didn't go back to fishing. Peter said, we left all to follow you. What are we going to get now? And we're like this rich young ruler, you know. We've forsaken all to follow you. And you said that he would have treasures in heaven? Yeah. He gave all his wealth away, all the lifetime of wealth. And gave it to the poor. And he said, follow me, Jesus said. And you would have the treasures in heaven. Well, Peter said, we left all to follow you. What are we going to get? Well, what was his response to? What is the treasure in heaven that we get? We left all to follow you. So what do we get out of it? And I'm sure that his mind was more on the temporal. I'm sure it was on the temporal. What are we going to get out of this? See, Jesus had already answered the rich young ruler. He already told him. He says, you give it all to the poor and follow me. You're going to have treasures in heaven. Peter says, well, we've done that. We're forsaken. What do we get? So Jesus said, well, Peter, in the regeneration, you know, you that's forsaken all to follow me, you're going to rule and reign with me and judge 12 tribes of Israel from 12 thrones. You're going to rule and reign with me. That's the treasure in heaven you're going to have because you've forsaken all. See, that's what you're going to get. And he says, and no man has forsaken the houses and lands and brothers and sisters and father and mother and wife and children. It's just like normal. Now, he's not talking about you getting up one day and saying, a wife and children of mine, I'm forsaking you, support yourself. I'm going over to the mission field. But what he is saying, that no matter what anybody or anything says, that I'm going to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody wants to go with me, you come with me. But if you're not going to go, then the Word of God does not authorize me to go back for you nor to wait for you. I'm going on. You have got to know that. So he says, in this life, then this is what your reward will be. be houses and lands and brothers and mothers and sisters a hundredfold. That you will inherit them, lands and people saved, hundreds and folds the treasure. And in the life to come, that's the treasure that he's talking about. And that, because you gave your life here, is what qualifies you to rule and reign with him there. He says, now you let me tell you how the kingdom of God works. And we got done paying the guys that worked 11 hours, paid for one. They thought that they should be paid for 11 more hours plus the one. And what they were saying is, me giving my life is not enough. You know, I want the 11, I want to be paid for now. I'm like the rich young ruler. I am not going to sell my life out for over there and get the one penny, the one day's wage. If he got that, I want the other 11 that's coming to me. I'm not going to wait to get over there. I want mine now in this life. I want it now. He said, for many be called, but few are chosen. So we looked at that parable as a basis for reward. But all that parable was outlining is the basis that you're chosen by. The first will be last, the last will be first. Many be called, few are chosen. If you're not fulfilling that parable, all that parable is a pre-qualification for you to be chosen. In other words, if you work 12 hours and get paid for one, then the rest of it, it went for the kingdom. He said, the process of being chosen, do you want your labor and your paycheck? You want to exalt yourself? Do you want it in this lifetime? Or do you want to forsake all and work your whole life and reap the benefit in the next lifetime? For the process that makes you chosen to rule and reign with Him is, do you want it now or do you want it then? Well, the mothers of the sons of Zebedee says, my sons really want to rule with you. He said, well, before that, can they drink of my cup? Because I came to not be ministered to, but to minister and give my life as a ransom for many, he says. He says, they want left and right hand authority on my thrones. He said, the Gentiles, just take it. Not so among you, he that's made himself the slave in this life. That really a slave belongs to me. Everything about his life, everything he did, everything he had, every commandment I give him, all it did was laid the treasures up. It was laid the treasures up in the kingdom. That's all it did. It's all that it did. The qualifying process is how much you want to get paid for now and how much you want to get paid for then. Well, I used to think, I want the good life now. And then I want to do this mighty reward too. You know, I want all of that now. I want it. Let me ask you something. As much as our gospel has revolved to prosperity, you might as well know it wasn't the first time. This is dotted with history. It's through the Word. Let me ask you a question. If we're steeped in the good life, it's okay. Mansion, cameras, estates, 6 or 7 cars, Lexuses and all that. You have them one day. And the next, you're in prison for your faith. How's that going to affect your walk? Or the devil comes in, beats it all away from you, takes every bit of it away. How's your relationship with God? Are you going to go on and serve Him faithfully if you don't get paid for the other 3 hours? Of the 6? Of the 11? Many be called, few are chosen. You able? Well, he paid them all the same, whether they worked 11 or 1, 12 or 1. He paid them all the same. I kind of wanted to know what he promised me in payment. And I'd like to know. I know 1 hour labor is $32 in their breakdown. That's not bad, 32 for the day's labor. So the guy worked 12 hours, gets 32. That guy worked 1 hour, he got 32. I'd kind of like to know what he's promised me for laboring in the kingdom personally. You know, I could go out and take a lot of that for myself. Most have, 90%. Is it getting a little heated in here? Most of us have. We take a 90, and once in a while, if it doesn't mess with our television payments, we'll squirrely out a little bit more. But we're already spending 10 cents on the dollar more than we make as a national average. Credit cards are full. It's a trap of the devil. You know, if we'd have been the gospel-minded, we wouldn't have fell into the trap. But I tell you what, once you start living the good life, and you know, and then God owes you the good life, and he can give me the good life and the other two. Well, we have yet to get into that. Sometimes when you think he gave you the good life, he didn't. Nevertheless, most of us, you know, we give a 10. We give a 10 and we keep a 90. And we call ourselves servants. The process that causes me to be chosen is how much I'm willing to give my life. And the way Gary was teaching on that, it just thrilled me, because when we become a steward and we give God 10% and we keep 90, and then all of a sudden we start prospering, we give him 10 back and we keep the increase. It's almost impossible to prosper the kingdom of God without prospering you 90%. Now, Gary has some most interesting testimonies, and one of them is he's already, by this coming Monday, gave more than he gave all last year. Twice the amount he gave last year, and did not hurt his living that he's living now whatsoever, just that he did something that made God know that the increase was his and the living was Gary's. And since God knew the increase was his, he just started pouring out the increase, and he's doubled the amount he's given because God has brought in what he's gave. Now, when he wants increase, he goes to God and says, I need this and that, and they work out. But God knows then everything above that is his. I never heard anything like that in all my life. He worked out the parable of the pounds. But yet it's true. I mean, how's a guy going to get greedy when everything that comes in over a certain amount belongs to God? If he got $1 million check, he'd say, whoa, I still got my living, and this is his. And he says, you know, before I had the anointing on my finances, this never happened. Before I had the anointing. He said, but now there's an anointing in the finances. We've already given double last year. Because he knows anything over this amount is his, whether it's 10,000 or 1,000. And since he knows that, there's an anointing. I used to go pick up $20 checks. Now I pick up $1,000 checks. There is an anointing with my finances, and that's the truth. If you can get an anointing in your finances, and I tell you what, a couple of years of your faithfulness handling the pound that belongs to the Lord, he's got nothing with you going before him and saying, okay, you know, in light of there's a million coming now, I'd like to double the things that I'm doing now. And so, God, I'm going to increase my part to this much. And he'll go with you, because he knows everything above that is still his. It is still his. When he said, many be called, few are chosen. The process that causes you to be chosen is the process that was in that parable. If you worked all your life, and he paid you for that penny,
He paid you that day's wage, and all the other guy only worked one, and he got that same promise he gives to a laborer on this earth. He got the same thing. And then you still willing to give all the other labor that you did for him away? Are you willing for that to be his? Because that's the process you're chosen by. I was kind of wanting to know what the penny, or what that day's wage was, a laborer on this earth running around drinking and eating water and stuff like that. I mean clothes, and I need cars, and I need this kind of thing. What is that wage? What did he promise me I could have? And depending how much I wanted to be chosen, the rest was his. What did he promise me? What was his bottom line promise to me? Now he says, with this inheritance, I'd have persecution. And again, I don't mind persecution for righteousness' sake, because I know he's with me. But I won't take persecution directly from the devil, from poverty, and I won't take persecution from sickness and disease. I won't take them kind of things from him, because that's one-on-one. I've got power over his power, but I don't have power over people. And God wants people to be saved, so he asks me to go and get them saved. No matter what they do to me, he wants me to know that their salvation to him is more important to what they can do to me temporarily on this earth. He loved me more than that, and somebody got me saved. He wants me to love anybody more than that, and he wants me to get them saved. He expects me to bear up into any persecution under any circumstances he sends me in to do. But the one thing I won't take is persecution from the devil directly. I don't like his disease. I don't like his torment. I don't like his threats. I don't like his poverty. I don't like any of that. And I don't intend on putting up with any of it. But I don't have power over people. Now, you might have a devil, but you have authority on this earth. That devil may get you to torment me. I have power over devils. But if you give him rule in your life, you might hurt me. You know, you may treat me mean and persecute me, and that's okay. Because that's part of being chosen. I'm his slave, and I'll never ask anything except eternity. Just promise me eternity, and I'll go in there. I really don't care. That's part of being chosen. I don't belong to myself anymore. I'll come out the other end of the Amazon. You know, my whole life had been given to making mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers in my family. You hand me $1.50 to show and represent the comforts of this life, all the good things I could have had. I don't care. $1.50's enough. That parable was a choosing process. A choosing process. And Gary, you just gave a few statistics I want you to give in a minute. And that was the debt that you had. So what if you would have took the pound and paid your debt first, like everybody wants to get out of debt, and then I'll give more. And then what happened in the percentages right after that? You make up percentages if you want. But right now I just got one more thing to say. Me and Gary won't be much over 9:30. People, listen to me. One man, a missionary, says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. He says, I don't know what that means. He says, because my friends have starved and died, and I've starved, and nobody's brought me in. So they said, we don't know what those mean. There's got to be an answer somewhere. I don't believe in persecution from the devil directly. I believe he did the miracles of the loaves and fishes not to show off. But if there's no other way for provision, then gather them around. Because we're about to have a miracle. I won't take that kind of persecution. That's his grace towards me. That's not reward. That's part of the promise. So I want to know what he's promised me for my lifetime of labor on this earth. I know what I get over there. I want to know now. Do I get the Lexuses and the mansions? What do I get? It's hard for me to reconcile myself. I understand Mother Teresa. As long as a person does not have a toothbrush, I'll never have two. Unless you want the one I have two, and then I won't have any. I understand the vow of poverty. How can he have everything that I have if I don't vow everything to him? I can understand that vow, even though a vow of poverty isn't scriptural. His supply is. But I can understand that very, very well. That people who could not justify an abundance when another person lay at their feet and perished for necessity anywhere in the world. How do you justify? I do know there'll be a day when we'll hold billions up between them and the need, and they'll listen to us. Because we're going to meet their needs on every level, and they will listen. And by the time we're done with them, they'll want God more than they want the food. Money was made to serve the kingdom in the hands of servants, not to make you a servant to it. And as long as you have yourself first, you can quit crying prosperity. You may get all the money and serve yourself first, but your reward is here. Now, heaven is enough. It is enough reward. It is enough. You can't tell me after you survive the outer darkness ordeal and you gnash your teeth in the presence of His glory and all that you forfeited, and you see the apostles and the rewards and the thrones, and you knew you threw it away. The wailing and the gnashing of teeth in the presence of His glory is when you get to see things and your heart is opened and the secrets revealed and who you really served and who you really were. In the presence of His Majesty, it causes you to gnash your teeth and wail and cry. But then He heals you. Maybe some of the first true repentance you ever had. But He'll heal you and wipe your tears away and give you your place in eternity. But believe me, there's places. Oh God, there's places. And you magnify the greatest feelings and the greatest prestige and the greatest rewards that could be had here. Those greatest moments. Wealthy women will buy men just to tell them. They tell them how beautiful they are. And they know. They know that they bought them. But they just want to hear it. They just want to hear it. They just want to be loved, that's all. Because even after you have all the money, you try to buy what you can't buy with money. And the way Jesus will treat you for selling out here is unfathomable. Gary's the first man I've ever heard of that really had the anointing of God in his finances where he didn't have to go out and hurt people to get it. And I'm talking preachers. Well, you work those 12 hours. You know, go ahead. And the guy works one and you get the promise he promised you for this lifetime. You both get it. Only it was not enough for you. You want the other 11. It's the process that you're chosen by. You can make the money. What you do with it. You can put your life into anything. You might be real good at making money. Then what are you going to do with your life then? What are you going to do with it? So I want to know what I get. What did He promise me in this life? This is why I won't put up with persecution from the devil one-on-one. I won't put up with it. Because I have the promise of the laborer. I have the promise. He promised me
the penny for the day. He promised me that for my life. Now, he can have the other 11 because the promise he gave me was provision. And I'm not going to take any persecution from it. Devil can't have it. He can't have my late bills. He can't have nothing. He can't cause it. He can't throw me in prison. And the only thing that I promise that I have from him is provision. Everything will be met. And I want provision for the rest of the world I'm going to take. And that's his promise. How do you know? Go to Matthew 6. This is what he promised you. This is what you can have. This is it. This is yours. 11 or 1, this is what you get. How much you give to him then is up to you. He'll meet your needs in your whole life. He'll give you that, all of it. If you work that 1 hour, he says, I promised you this. This is yours. Your needs are met. This is your provision. Now he says, what's my pound? 6 hours, 9. What's my pound? Matthew 6. 21st verse, kicking in. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Light of the body is the eye. Therefore your eye be single on a perpetuation of the kingdom. Your full body will be full of light, revelation, knowledge. But if your eye is evil, body's full of darkness. How great's the dark. No man can serve these two masters. Hate one, hold the other, despise one, love the other. You can't serve God and temporary money. Therefore, I say unto you, don't take any thought for your life, what you'll eat, drink, nor yet for your body, what you'll put on. It's your life more than the food you eat and the clothing that you wear. Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, don't have bank accounts, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his height or his stature? And why take thought for clothing? Look at the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They don't work. They don't toil. Neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon with these gold-flecked woven robes that he ascended, they're not dressed like one of these lilies. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow's cast into the oven, it's so temporary, and he clothed it so beautiful, and he cast it in the fire the next day, what's the point of dressing it so good if it's so temporary? He says, and aren't you much more, is he not much more clothed you? You, little faith? Therefore, you don't ever have to take any thought for your life, saying, what are we going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to be clothed. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His standing, and these things will be added to you. For they take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow takes thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the evil today. I've got my promise. This is the wage He's promised me. Consider the lilies, no matter where I go or what I do, I'm going to eat, I'm going to clothe, I'm going to be dressed. He's promised me provision. That's it, 1 hour or 12. He's promised me these things. They are mine because I'm His child. That's His grace. I'll always have them. I'm not putting up with Satan's persecution. Those things are mine. The rest is His. So what do I get if I jerk the 1 hour? The provisions. What if I get if I work the 12 and got paid for the 1? I got the provision and I got chosen. Gary. Is anybody excited? You want an anointing in your business?
Not much past 9:30, so you're giving me 12 seconds.
It's a provision.
Real quick, pinch together between your fingers Matthew 6 and Matthew 20, where Dave's been teaching tonight. Previews, coming attractions. Okay, in that parable that Dave taught on tonight about the guy that worked 12 and the guy that worked 1, just want you to notice something. Verse 15, Matthew 20, verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now notice that. Is thine eye evil? Note that. Mark that. Now go to Matthew 6. Starting in verse 20. We'll start in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, what did he say over there? Is thine eye evil? He's talking about the same thing. Same thing. Previews. We'll get into that in detail later. Real quickly. See, we're kind of in uncharted ground now. We don't have any patterns to follow that I know of. I don't know where this is being taught. So all I know to do is go teach, and my responsibility is to make sure I'm living what I'm teaching. And then I report back to you. I don't know what else to do. Well, I keep crunching the numbers as things happen, and I just report. And that's what I was doing with Dave today. Technically, we could write our next pound tonight. There's enough in my checkbook, and that one will make us double. This next one that we write will make us double last year. But technically I could, but really I can't, because it takes eight, you know, we make deposits as things come in the mail, and they haven't had time to clear the bank yet. Most of these come in from out of state, and so you have to give them 8 business days, you know, to make sure it'll clear. But probably by Sunday, we'll be able to do that one. But when we do that one, so this is the 5th month, and we will have at least given by Sunday twice what we gave all last year. And last year was 20%, you know. And we've not diminished ourselves at all. In fact, we've drawn out a little more to this date, about $300, than we did last year. So we're not diminished ourselves at all. That's what I meant. There's an anointing now that wasn't there. So now, with that in mind, okay, the big question everybody keeps asking me is, you know, about the debt. Okay, should I get out of debt first? Well, listen, this isn't law, okay, but let me just, all I can do is report to you. For years, I thought just like that. I thought, well, see, we tend to think, boy, if I could ever get completely out of debt, then I could really serve the Lord, you know. I could really put a bunch in there. Well, as long as I thought that way and continued, what the end result of that kind of thinking, though, is this. If increase comes, it's going on my debt first. And as long as I thought that way, no anointing ever showed up. I mean, you know, nothing ever really happened supernatural with my finances. Okay? We made that decision that, okay, we've been making these payments. We just included our payments in with our budget, and I told y'all how we did it and set this certain amount, and anything above that's yours. Whoa, all of a sudden, this increase came. And I just might as well tell y'all, we've already put more in this year than our total debts. And the devil comes right up there and says, boy, you're stupid. No, I'm not either. I'm not diminished from what I was doing last year, but I'm rapidly becoming a steward of God that he can trust to handle finances. You see what's happening? There's an anointing. There's an anointing coming now that was never there as long as my mindset was, if increase comes, it's going on my debt first. No anointing ever showed up while I thought like that. But when I said, okay, you didn't make these debts, I did. You're going to help me get out of this one way or the other. If I wind up just paying them all off, I still want to be your steward, and I don't want to wait 10 years to start. You know? I want Dave on TV now. I want him on Japan next year. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Let's get with the program. So as soon as we made that decision then, all right, we'll just keep paying like we have been paying. Lord, if you let us know somehow, if you send us some money to pay that off, you'll let us know it. Otherwise, we'll just be paying it like we have been. I want to be your steward now. See? And so as soon as we made that decision, boom. And he's already brought more through us than my debt. But now I can't use them on the debts. If I did, you think that anointing's going to stay around? What did I prove? That I'm unfaithful. That I can't be trusted to keep my word. Is that pretty much what you want? I mean, did I cover it okay? Percentage of the loan. Well, it's hard to do without numbers. Okay, yes. All right, I see what he's... I left out that part. Okay, now, here's another way to look at it. I said, we tend to think, boy, if I could get out of debt, then, man, I could really serve the Lord financially then. You know, I thought just like that too. And then once I realized that we've already, when this anointing showed up, have put in more than our debts, then the Lord had me start putting a pencil to it. Now, okay, how do I do this? All right. Had I used the increase and paid off our debts personally, which isn't a whole lot, the only difference that would have made in our budget, I'm going to have to tell this, is it would have made $300 difference a month. Okay? In other words, if I was debt-free right now, there'd be $300 that we wouldn't have to use on debt. You with me? Now, so that's, we tend to think if I ever got debt-free, man, somehow we think, man, I could really, no, all I could put in without an anointing is that 300. And I got to multiplying that out, it would take over 3 years. If that's all I had in the natural to put into the gospel, that's how free I got, it would take me 3 years to put in what we've already put in 5 months. We're dumb. Our mind is fallen. We don't think things all the way out. He had me take a pencil, and I never had figured it out either. But I double dog dare you, you know. I mean, you know, we hate payments. We hate that. But we don't pencil it out. We don't think it all the way through. But if you were debt free, how much would that really be? You know, how many, a month that you could be freed up without an anointing coming. See? And what he's telling us is, look, hey, you can become my steward right now. You know, you don't have to be diminished any. In fact, we'll talk about raises every few months. You know? You see what I'm saying? Let's come, we'll talk, but, you know, the increase is mine. We're in Granddaddy's farm here. If you don't know what that means, you have to get those other tapes. Is that what you wanted? Did I do it? Okay.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's all the Lord. We're not doing anything. Listen, all I'm doing is giving the report. It's kind of like when Peter or one of them came back from an evangelistic trip and they said, well, we had so many saved and so many baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, Sue and I, you know, we're doing these things. And, well, this is what happened with our money. You know, we're just telling what, you know, what happens as you make these adjustments. That's all. But it's all Him.
Hallelujah. Lester Summerall said one time, if I die with $1 million in the bank, I died a traitor to the gospel. Isn't that interesting? Did you learn anything tonight?